And doing so, it makes us all kind of relaxed. And some people in ministry of this type, they begin to think maybe you'd be some kind of super person or something. I want you to know I'm just your brother. He's just a man. Just a brother. Just nothing but just a human like we all are. And God just gave me a little ministry to help somebody, so I just go do the best I can with it. And that's the best that I know. So then I thought last night talking about plowing with horses and so forth and riding. Well, you'd realize that we're just mortal beings together, trying our best to do what we can for the kingdom of God and for the glory of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. And such a response, though. My, that was marvelous. The meetings were set up for was for just gospel preaching. And then when you get around where the invention of coming, the Lord has blessed so greatly in the praying for the sick, until people just really, when they come, they expect the prayer meeting for the sick. Sometimes I get off of an airplane somewhere, going somewhere and travel, there'll be somebody over there motioning. Got the ambulance sitting out there with somebody sick that he prayed for out the airport when the plane's going to come down or something. So that's real nice. I appreciate that. If people's got that much faith in God to believe it, that's very, very nice. And so I'm thankful for it. And I pray that God will bless. I just shook hands with a young fellow coming in there, a young boy. If he's here, I don't mean to make him conspicuous. A very fine young fellow. Said, Brother Graham, I was raised up in a Christian home. He said, I've taken a habit of smoking and I used bad words. He said, Brother Graham, I want to be right with God. Would you pray that He bring up a child in the way it should go? They get off amongst these children doesn't have that kind of teaching. They wander away, but don't worry. God will bring them back. Okay, I believe it. A brother sitting here said, Brother Graham, don't you remember down in Phoenix in a basement in the auditorium one time you prayed for my wife who was insane? I just remember, said, she's here with us tonight. Said, she's in her right mind. All right. I wonder if the woman's close, if she'd stand up. It's just a minister of here somewhere here. It's his wife. It was a healed and Phoenix. Reminds me of the time that in Little Rock, Arkansas, I believe was one of the worst cases of insanity that I ever seen in my life. And someone testified of it in a meeting. I've just been, if you want confirmation of this, you might write the chairman of the committee, which was Reverend G.H. Brown of Little Rock, Arkansas, 505 Victor Street, Reverend G.H. Brown. And we were praying, and as I got late, and I was so tired, as just before I had my time, and they just let me stay until, like, to kill me, so I... It was amazing that night. There was an old fellow out in the meeting there. He had crutches about like the brother here. Got his feet sitting on. He'd been crippled for a long time. And during the time of the service, the Lord Jesus made him whole. And the next day he was walking around the street, holding the crutches in front of him, saying, the Lord cut me off of this last night. Going down the street. Oh my, the papers give me a really right upset up. Self-styled Baptist preacher, ran the streets with ambulances and cars, such fanaticism. This old brother, I was standing speaking like this, and he raised up and said, say, Brother Graham, I want to ask you a question. All out of order. But I said, all right, brother, what is it? He said, I'm just so happy, I don't know what to do. I said, well, that's fine. He said, you know, the strange thing, old, said, well, I heard you preaching, I was sure you was a Nazarene. Well, he was a Nazarene himself, now. He said, I'm sure you was a Nazarene. And then said, I've seen all these Pentecostal people around here, and somebody told me you were Pentecostal. And said, now I heard you say this a while ago, you was a Baptist. Said, I can't understand this. I said, that's very easy. I said, I'm a Pentecostal Nazarene Baptist. We're all one in Christ Jesus. That night, Mr. Brown told me, he said, Brother Brown, as soon as you wait for a little break to rest up again, they let me rest up a few minutes, I get real numb all over. Then it'll take me off and let me rest a few minutes and sing songs, and the preacher maybe preach a little sermonette. I'd rest up a little and come back. So I hadn't been out praying for the sick man of this all 2 or 3 months. So they take me off and said, I want to show you a sight like you've never seen. I said, what is it? Said, an insane woman. And I went down, standing on the steps as we went out to the bottom of the auditorium. They couldn't hear down there, only through a PA system, and it was so packed in. But nobody was in that spot, in the floor, because they couldn't get in there on account of this woman. And she was laying on the floor, and her limbs were sticking right up like this, arms and legs both, and she was bleeding all over. And her husband was standing on the steps, a very fine, just a typical good old Arkansas brother, standing there with a pair of overalls on and washed out. He said, I tell you, friend, talk about overalls and blue shirts. Some of the best old hearts in the world beat beneath that. That's right. That's right. And he stuck my hand. He said, well, I said, what's your trouble? Says my wife, Brother Brandon. And I looked out there, and she's laying like that. I said, oh, my. I said, what's she bleeding so far? I said, well, Brother Brandon said, we heard that testimony from over Pine Wood over there that woman is brought from the insane institution, the field, said, we thought maybe we could bring my wife, and said, we got her just here for tonight, and said, they about 100 and something miles, and said, the amber couldn't touch her, and said, I got two or three brothers to come with me. We got her in a Chevrolet car, and said, she overcome all those men and kicked through the glass and broke all the windows out, and that's what cut her, just for that. I said, oh my, that's too bad. And I said, how'd it come about, brother? He said, well, Brother Branham said, it's just a time of menopause, and the doctor give her a shot and run her into that. I said, well, that's sure too bad. And I said, well, of course he didn't aim to do it. He's done the best that he knows how. And he said, well, she's been up here in the insane institution for 2 years. He said, Brother Branham, she's a good woman. He said, I got 5 little children. Said, right after this, said it was, her baby was born during the time of the menopause. He said, she was such an awful fix. He said, I stole my farm and everything else. He said, and really, said, I had a team left. I was working around. Said, I stole his mules so I could get some money to help bring her down here tonight. 2 mules. What do you have? I said, oh, brother, that's sure too bad. I said, well, I'll walk out and talk to her. Oh, don't you do that, Brother Pam, because she'd kill you. I said, well, I'll talk to her. I said, well, she don't even know her own name. She hasn't spoken a word in 2 years. Oh, I said, I think I can talk to her just a kid like in the ministry. I didn't know it was then. I didn't realize now. You better wait and let God say so. So I just walked out the room. She just standing there, laying on her back. Said she hadn't been off her back in 2 years. She's laid like that. And she had her hands up like that. I walked out. I said, good evening, sister. She just lay there with her eyes batting, looking. And I reached her. I said, how did you do? I took her over her hand. Oh, my. It was a good thing that God was with me. Well, anybody's demon possesses many times their strength, you know. She just grabbed my hand like that real quick. And I used to be a boxer. I had the undefeated title of the Bantamweight Championship of the three states. So, and know what grip is, but she grabbed me like that and grabbed like that when she did, if I had to threw my foot out real quick and caught her across the bosom with my foot to hold myself, she'd have probably broke my bones out on the floor where she jerked me like that. And it pulled her hand loose like that, and she let out a great big blow like a crocodile or something, making a big blow, funny noise, like that. My. And then she started turning around. Well, I started away from her. And when she did, she started chasing me like a snake crawling on the floor. You can hear it just like that crawling horses. And she chased me back up on the steps like that. And there she was crawling right on the floor, and I said, my. Now, it's only the grace of God to be that way here tonight, some of you women, or a man too. See, just God's grace. And when she put her big, strong limbs up against the side of the wall like that, and she backed up to the wall like that and gave a great big kick, and when she did, she went out on the floor and hit a bench that was sitting out there, and the side of her head, a nice, attractive-looking lady. about 45 years old, and hit her head like this, and the hair blood flew on her and broke a piece of bench off. Now, she had so much power in those legs to kick herself out like that, and a piece of bench flew off, and she picked it in her hands like that and threw it. Just missed her husband and just tore the plastering off the wall. I said, oh, my, she's in an awful shape. He said, yes. He said, now, Brother Brandon, would you have to lay hands on her? I said, I would wish I could. And he started crying. He said, now, I don't know why. I said, look, brother, it's not me. Jesus Christ. I said, if you will believe with all of your heart that God will heal that woman, and the story that I told about a few weeks ago, that angel meet me up there and tell me to go and be sincere when I pray, get the people to believe me. Now, I said, they won't believe. He said, they'll be giving you signs, like it's giving the prophet Moses two signs. You remember the story. And said, if you get the people to believe, nothing shall stand before the prayer. I said, sir, do you believe that? And he put his old bony arm around me and said, Brother Branham, with all my heart, I believe it. I turned around like this. And when I did, that woman squared off the same way. She said, William Branham, you have nothing to do with me. And the man said, well, that's the first word she's spoken to you. I said, that's not her. She said, well, how? He said, how'd she know you? I said, that's not her. That's that devil screaming out to me. He said, see? I said, that's Satan. She wouldn't know I was William Branham. He said, he recognizes that I told the truth. And if you only believe, you'll see the glory of God. He said, you have nothing to do with me. I brought her here. I said, you might have brought her here, but Jesus Christ will heal her. And she started crawling up towards me. Now, I said, let's bow our heads. Now, we bowed our heads, and I said, Heavenly Father, this poor brother and this brought his wife here in this condition, you're the same God that those devils and legions confessed out. I said, you're the same God, so I ask in Jesus Christ's name that the evil spirit come out of the woman. And I just turned around to the man, I said, you believe? And he said, with all my heart, Brother Branham. I said, now see, he told me if you get the people to believe, be sincere. And brother, I said, it's just as sincere to know how to be. He said, thank you, Brother Branham. He said, what must I do with her? I said, take her right back to the institution. He said, all right. So I said, you let them dismiss her. So he turned around, and after service, he took her back. And the thing of it was, she never bothered no one going back, set up nicely, went back. They put her in the institution the next morning. And the following morning, when they went into the cell where she was at to feed her, she was setting up. And on the third day, she was dismissed in the sanitarium and sent home in her normal mind. About 2 months after that, I was at Little Rock, or not Little Rock, but Jonesboro. And I kept seeing someone waving at me like that in a meeting. I thought, well, I don't remember them people, and I was preaching. And I looked again, and I thought, well, and so the lady raised up, or the man did rather, and said, had some little children there, said, do you know us, Brother Branham? I said, I don't believe I do. Said, the lady said, she raised up to me, she said, excuse me, Brother Branham. But said, they tell me that I was laying on my back the last time you seen me. And I said, were you healed somewhere? She said, yes, I was the lady that was down in the basement. I said, oh my. There she was with her five little children hugging at her, normal and well in her right mind. What is it? Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. May the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, devils to be cast out, and the commission follows on. Amen. And that thing is perhaps being done around the world tonight among faithful, believing members of the body of Jesus Christ. And divine healing doesn't lay within me. And each of these brethren sitting here, your pastors, you don't have to wait till you have a divine healing program to be healed. Every one of these men has got just the same authority that I or anyone else has got to pray for the sick. And that's all we can do, is pray for the sick. And not only them, but if they're off somewhere and can't get to you, that good Holy Ghost-filled sister or brother that lives next door to you has the same authority. That's right. The same thing. If you can't get to your pastor, the Bible says, if any among you sick, call the elders of the church. Let them anoint the oil and pray over the sick. The prayer of faith will save the sick. He said, God shall raise them up. Not the minister. God shall raise them up.
And if they did any sin, it should be forgiven them. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for the other. Is that right? One another to be prayed for, see? That sin may be healed. For the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's all you need. Be filled with God's Spirit. And you'd be surprised if you only know the gift that's sitting right in this building tonight. Now, if I would know sickness, surely I would know gifts. Is that right? That's right. So I know that in meetings, when I meet with Christian people, they are there. The only thing you have to watch when you tell people, because you hold out on your words, they'll say something, and you have to know it's directly coming from God what to tell the person. That's the reason they don't say those things to them. But you just live humble before God. Just be, don't try to make yourself anything. Just be humble. God will take care of the rest of it. He will make it known. Now, tomorrow, if there are sorrows, I wish that really from the depths of my heart that I would have set the meeting a little longer, if we could have got it, or at least another week. I feel like if I could take next week just about 4 days of just common gospel preaching and altar calls, it'd be hard to tell what would take place after the people is already minded of the power of the deliverance of God. Then every one of you bring your sinner friend out next week. That would be real then. We could win souls for Christ. Usually in these meetings, it's just the Christians come. Now and then sinners come in, but usually just the Christian. And then the believer already believes, you see. So I just trust that it'll be God's will for me to come back again to you real soon. Sure got a fine bunch of brethren. Fine. I've never, any time, at any place, ever felt any more cooperation in the Spirit of God than I have right here at this place. That's right. That's right. That's true. I've never seen a place I've ever been before at minister set behind me on the platform. And that's the first night it kind of bothered me a little because I was conscious of them being there, but just that wall of faith there, I said, just leave them alone. Said, that's fine. They're my brothers. That's wonderful, and I'm so happy for that. When you get that faith there to believe, that just anything can happen. Now, we thank you for everything, and tomorrow afternoon, if you can, I think the services begin at 2 o'clock. Is that right? 2 o'clock. That'll let me be here by 2:30, perhaps. And I'll speak a little while, and then pray for the sick. And then, you've been very nice, and you're attentive, and rainy bad nights, you come anyhow, and you've helped us with the finance to pay the debt. I think you'll have it all together. Mr. Brewer's going to give it to my son tonight, and the expenses to be paid, and if there's enough now to pay all the expenses, it'll be paid in the morning. If not, well, after my love offering is taken up tomorrow, it'll be made in, and it'll be paid. If it's not, which I believe it's already more than paid, and if there's any left over, whatever it is, I will not take it myself. I'll stick it right over in foreign missions to send across the sea and do everything that I can. If it's liked a little, then I'll, for my love offering, I'll make it up. See? And we want to leave it not debt going. Everybody feeling wonderful and fine and glorifying God. We try to keep that standard everywhere. And all the ministers and the people here, if you're here and you don't belong to church, why don't you join these brothers' church if you live near them? Do you believe in this type of ministry? Well, join the churches that believe in that. Join the churches that back that up, that believe in that. See? And you come over and get healed and go back into a bunch of people where that atmosphere is that doesn't believe in divine healing and things. Why, you'll be just as bad off as you ever was. See? That's right. Yoke yourself not up among unbelievers. That's what the Bible says. But believers. And so I wish you could do that, and I pray that you will. Now, if your church is a believer in divine healing and believing the blessings of God, then your church doesn't save you. Jesus is your Savior. But if you will do a lot better, if you'll get among people, and if you do believe in divine healing and living among those who doesn't believe in divine healing, you're impediment to them. That's right. Always said, you know, people say, do I have to quit this, Brother Branham? If I'm going to join the full gospel churches, or will I have to give up shows, dances, and so forth? I said, no. Don't have to give up anything. Not a thing. We're really all northern people here. We have little scrub oaks out here. They hold the leaves all winter long.
When springtime comes, y'all don't have to take off the old leaf so the new one can come on. Just let the new life come up and the old leaf goes off anyhow. So you don't, have to have a measuring stick. Just get new life in there. It'll take care of itself. Okay? The old things just fade away and the new life comes on. Over in the Gospel of Luke, the 2nd chapter, the 25th verse, I want to read just a little portion of Scripture. You're so lovely, I just hate to pass the night without speaking to you for a few moments. When it comes back, we're going to try to have some of them along so we can have some afternoon services and just preach the Gospel and have a wonderful time. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parent brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then touching him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. How can we bow our heads just a moment? Kind Heavenly Father, we're grateful to thee tonight that we have this approach to thee through the name of thy beloved child, Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us from sin. Oh, we think of we who were one time alienated from God, Gentiles, cut off from God, the commonwealth of Israel, led about worshiping idols. In a due season, Christ came and died, the innocent for the guilty. And through the shedding of his holy blood and the right to the tree of life, we Gentiles are now brought nigh, insomuch that we are called sons and daughters of God. And it does not yet appear just what we'll be in the final end, but we know we'll have a body like his own glorious body, for we shall see him as he is, free from sin, free from sickness, weary troubles, old age. It'll all be finished then. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, and help me tonight to spread this gospel around the world so you can come. You cannot come according to your word until all the world has heard the gospel. I pray that you'll hasten the day, Lord, that when all the world shall hear the gospel, sin and sorrow, pain and death of this dark world shall cease. Till then, give us grace, give us vision, give us power to bring the gospel to the people. Before me tonight, Lord, is a box of handkerchiefs. And as I lay my hands upon, nothing within thy servant could do this, but as a memorial or a token to the word of Jesus Christ, which said that these signs should follow the believers. If they laid hands on the sick, they should recover. And the great Saint Paul touched on his body handkerchiefs and aprons, and sickness left the people, and devils went out of them. And I pray that you'll heal everyone. Watch over them, Lord. May the angel of God watch these handkerchiefs so they're gone to the right place. And may when they're placed upon the sick, may everyone, without leaving one out, may everyone be perfectly normal. Grant it, Father, for we send it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I ask that God will bless you all, and I want to speak just a moment, and then we'll start praying for the sick. Now, first, we want to think tonight on this text, if I would call it a text, just for a few moments. And I would like to use these words in it, expectation. As I mentioned here tonight, you usually get what you expect, don't you? If you come tonight to the meeting just expecting to see something that you could criticize the meeting about, the devil will show you plenty of it. And you'll go back with a lot of criticism just like you expected. But if you come tonight expecting to say, Lord, I come to see you. I come for the benefit of, to be healed. I come for the benefit of my soul. Well, I expect you to give it to me because I'm here in this place that's dedicated to your glory, and you'll get just what you expect. That's right. You always, and you can never go above your expectations. You'll always have to do that. Now, expectancy, we see here that when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, there wasn't the press like we have radio and television and so forth as we have now. So the news had to be taken from lip to ear. And then, can you hear me in the back of the balcony up there? Is it all right? Can you hear around the expectation? And then, when Jesus was born, they usually sing when a king is born. So there was no greetings here on the earth, people to greet him. So their angels came down and sang, rejoicing at the day in the city of David is born Christ the Savior. God's angelic host, who couldn't understand the mystery of this virgin birth, but yet sang praises to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to man, when they sang at his birth. How marvelous. Then we notice again that way back in the east, some magi or stargazers, I believe they noticed the prophecy of Balaam that a star of Jacob would rise. And they were just watching for that star to arise. And we're told by historians that the three magi, they come from different parts, not following one star, as the Christian tradition has it, but they followed three different stars. And when they met at the Bethlehem of Judea, all three coming from the east, traveling from three different places, they never knew each other until they met, and they consolidated counsel, brother, with one another, and one of them was from the lineage of Ham, the other from Shan and Japheth, three sons of Noah. And these three stars that they had followed went together and made the one big star that hung over Christ. Jesus said, when this gospel is preached to Ham, Shan, and Japheth's people, then the end shall come. All right, when they consolidated and come together. Now, all the observatories they had in that day, not one of them saw the star. And yet, on every city there was a tower and an observatory that watched the stars. They kept time to the stars. Watches and things wasn't in time then. So, only thing they had was a sundial and the day and the stars at night. So, they timed what time it was, the first hour, third hour, so forth, by the stars. Notice, and here comes this star passing right over every observatory, and not one of them noticed it. Well, people go up to me and say, I didn't see nothing. You wasn't expecting anything, that's right. Those people in the observatory, perhaps up there on the Tower of Observation, they didn't expect to see anything. But there was somebody was watching for that star of Jacob to rise. Right. He'll be here one of these mornings, and just those who are waiting will be the one that'll get it. Okay. Just those who are watching. We used to sing an old song. Be watching and waiting, that sight to behold. He's coming again. That's right. So be waiting, watching. We don't know just what time he may appear. So tonight, be watching and expecting. Rise off the cot and stretcher, wheelchair, wherever you are. Be expecting to feel the unction of the Son of God when he moves into you to give you new faith and life and to spring to your feet. It's me. I'm waiting, Lord. The first time you touch my heart, out of this chair I'm coming. The first time you touch my body, out of here I'm coming. Be watching, expecting something to happen. Now, the angels came and sang to the shepherds. The shepherds went out into the city to find out this thing had gone on. After 8 days, it was a custom of the Jewish traditions to bring the child to the temple, all the male children, and they had to be circumcised and had to offer either two turtle doves, that was a peasant's offering, or a lamb was a rich child's offering, for the purification of the mother and for the child. And so, if when you study the Old Testament and see those laws of redeemed, the law of redemption, oh, it's a beautiful thing. I just love the Old Testament because it's just a shadow of the New. If you get lined up with the Old Testament, you'll have a good conception of what the New means. Now, because it's a shadow of it. And just like Revelation 12 there, where the woman was seen with the moon under her feet, the law, and the sun at her head, the gospel, see? 12 stars, the 12 apostles, and so forth. Now, notice closely, they were expecting, these people were, to see God. They had an expectation in their heart to see those things happen, and God granted it to them. Now, you've got to desire. David said in the scripture, when the deep calls to the deep, the noise of thy waterspout. Now, before there can be any deep to call in here, there has to be a deep out there first to make this deep in your call for. See? The deep calling to the deep. I love scenery. My, here some time ago I was hunting up in the mountains, not so much for the game, I was just up to get away. I just love the mountains. My mother's a half Indian, and it's just enough about it. I love the wilds, and I can't get out of it. And so I can see a sunset and cry like a baby. I remember up there one day standing on the mountain, the elk herds were high that year, hadn't had no snow, and I was moving around up high near the timberline. And in the fall of the year, in October, there comes storms. It'll maybe snow a while, and then it'll rain a while, and then the sun will come out. I remember up there one fall, not long ago, I was tramping around, and there come up a storm, and I got in behind a tree and stood like this a while, set my rifle down. The storm went over, there's no blow down there anyhow. And after a while, after the storm ceased, I listened, standing there, I thought, well, which way shall I start from here now? Start out, back down, I was about 60 or 70 miles, as far as I know, from a living human being. Back with two or three pack horses and camped out. So I was sitting there, looking around and wondering which way to go from there, seeing no tracks or nothing. So I thought, what will I do? And about that time, way back over on another ridge, the storm had got the elk scattered. And I heard the big males bugling. Oh my, hear it echoing across the valley. Then the deep began to call to the deep. Way back up here, an old gray wolf got to howling, his mate answering in the bottom. The deep was calling to the deep. I thought, oh God, surely you're the God of the mountain too. Way up here. If you got God in here, you can see God anywhere you look. Right? It'll move out. Then I stood there a little while, and where the sun peeked out through the crevices of the rocks as it was setting in the west, shining like the eye of God, looking, running to and fro through the earth. I noticed it shine against those trees, and where it took cold up that high, the ice that froze on the evergreens, making an icicle, and when it did, there come a rainbow across the valley. Now this wolf hollered up here, and its mate in the bottom answered. And the elk herd and the rainbow. I had my gun down against the tree. I run out there and I raised up my hands. I said, oh, great Jehovah God, who looked down from the heavens, the God gave us this rainbow sign. I said, I can see another rainbow sign in Revelation 2, where Jesus studying to look upon the jasper and sardis stone, Reuben and Benjamin, the first, the last, with a rainbow crossing the seven church ages, the colors. Oh, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the ending. He that was, which is, and shall come, the root and offspring of David, the morning star, heading behind these seven colors. God's covenant with the church, and he wrote with Jesus Christ, his son, of a perfect redemption. I begin to scream,
Well, say to God that somebody come up the woods, they thought they had an insane person there. Around and around the tree, I went as hard as I could go, jump up there and scream. I didn't care who seen me. I was worshiping God. Wouldn't make any difference to me what anybody thought. Now around and around again, and I thought, oh my Lord, why do I ever have to leave here? Isn't this beautiful up here? But like, let's build three tabernacles, but there was somebody down at the bottom of the hill waiting to be prayed for, of course. So I thought I might as well just rejoice a little more, and around the tree I went again, shaking my arms and screaming to the top of my voice, hallelujah, hallelujah to God, hallelujah to God. I thought, isn't this wonderful? My, I was standing there, deep, responding to the deep call, the water spout, thy noise. I think, oh my, isn't this beautiful? I happened to hear something jump out and went, chip, 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 a little old pine squirrel, a little old fellow just about that high, and it was the noisiest thing you ever heard. And he jumped up on a log out there, and when he acted, I thought he was going to tear me to pieces, just about that big, you see. I looked at him, I thought, now, Lord, you never put nothing to poor fellow, that's just, it's something for your glory. And I said, now, why'd you let that little pine squirrel chirp like that? I happened to notice little fellow was looking down like that. And he wasn't looking at me, but the storm had forced a big eagle down in there. This eagle was coming up out of this undergrowth, this brush. And I looked, I said, oh, the eagle's what's excited you. And that little fellow, as if I could go tear an eagle to pieces. So the big old eagle, he jumped up on a limb like that. And I thought, now, why did God turn my attention from that rainbow and that wolf calling and so forth to something like this? I thought, well, Lord, you're in your nature, so I was having such a wonderful time. Why'd you do that? I thought, I'll study it just a minute. I thought, well, now that eagle, he's a scavenger and nothing good about him. I thought, well, what's he doing? I seen the big fellow looking at me. I thought, oh, I understand. He's so brave. He's not scared of me. I thought, I'll try out his bravery. I said, hey, fella, you know I could shoot you? That big gray-eyed wall looked at me, looked over this little squirrel. He wasn't scared. I thought, oh, Lord, I see. You want somebody who's not scared. That's the trouble with the church today. You're afraid. You're afraid when you ask, you won't receive. That's the reason you don't receive. Don't be scared. Ask and believe you're going to get it. You'll get it. God will give it to you. So I thought, oh, I see the bravery. I thought, what makes him brave? Now, there's got to be some reason to make him brave. And I said, I grabbed my rifle like this. I said, I was scaring him. And I grabbed my rifle like this, sort of pulled up like this and flipped them big wings and looked back at me again. Looked back. I thought, well, why are you so brave? I noticed he kept feeling his wings, shuffling his feathers out. Oh, I see. God gave you two wings. That's God-given power. You trust it. And I thought, if God gave an eagle two wings to take himself out of danger, and he has that much trust in his wings, what ought a church that's baptized with the Holy Ghost do? There he was, moving his feathers. I thought, yeah, as long as he can feel them wings are all right, he ain't scared of nothing. I said, praise God. As long as I can feel the Holy Spirit moving, devils think you're nothing. That's right. When the Holy Spirit's around. How marvelous. No wonder you can stand not like the rock of Gibraltar, but the rock of Asia. We'll stand after the rock of Gibraltar's gone. So I thought, isn't that marvelous? Well, then I said, wonder why. Now I said, now that timber's not very high, and he knows that it is getaway. Before I could get that rifle to my shoulder, and especially his little old peep sight, he'd be in that timber, and I couldn't shoot him. And he knows that. Well, I thought, isn't this wonderful? I started shouting again. I don't know whether I'm shooting men or not. But anyhow, he looked around a little while, and I thought, I admire you, fella. I wouldn't shoot you. If you're that brave, I love bravery. And I sure wouldn't shoot you. And he sat there a little while. After a while, he just did himself a little tick like that with his feet. And he got tired of hearing that there little pine squirrel. Chatter, 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 chatter. And I thought, that's right. Just puts me in mind of some of these people running here. Take the miracles of faith. And what's this thing that I mean? What do you think of this day? Just jump all away from it. That's right. Just get on away from it. Run away. I'm noticing Now, he just didn't flop, 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 flop with his wings. He just made a big jump and made about two flops, then he set his wings. And as that air hit it, he never moved a feather. He just knew how to ride that air. He just went on, out of sight. I stood there, I cried like a baby. I said, "That's it, Lord. It ain't run here, run there, flop here, and flop there. It's just set your wings of faith in the power of God, and when it rolls in, ride it." Right away from this thing, for the days of miracles, the past years, or such a thing, right out. Don't keep trying and pushing and shoving. Just put your faith in God's power when the waves come in, right on out on it like that. That's it. Amen. Then the deep really calls to the deep then. Marvelous. Deep calling to the deep. Unless there is a deep, before there is a fin on a fish's back, there had to be a water first for him to swim in before he ever had the fin. Or you wouldn't have no fin. Is that right? Before there could be a tree to grow in the earth, there had to be an earth first for it to grow in, or there'd be no tree. Is that right? In other words, here, I read some time ago where a little boy eats a eraser off of a pencil, and he'd eat the pedal off of a bicycle, a rubber pedal. And they couldn't understand why the little fellow's eating rubber all the time. So they took him down to the clinic and examined him, and the doctor says, "Why, his little body's craving sulfur." There you are. See? Now, the little boy was taken out of the earth where sulfur is, and as long as there was a crave for sulfur in here, there had to be a sulfur to respond to that crave. See? Now, how many in here believe the divine healing? Let's see your hand. The power of God. Thank you. Look, before there can be a creation, there has to be a creator to create that creation.
Right.
Is that right? Well, as long as you're hungering for divine healing and the power of God, there's got to be a fountain open somewhere. Is that right?
Right.
If there isn't divine healing, you wouldn't have that in your heart. The creator of God has to create that in your heart before you can even think of such a thing.
Right.
Hallelujah. Yes. You want more of God. You hunger for more of God. And because that you do hunger is a very fine evidence that there is more of God to receive. And if you crave divine healing, that shows that there is a pattern of divine healing somewhere, or that creation wouldn't be in your heart. You get what I mean? Quickly now, just a couple more minutes. Oh, my. I just love him. That's all. I just couldn't help it. See, as I think of it, any route you take, anywhere you want to start from, you'll see Jesus Christ in his power.
That's right.
Any approach you want to make through nature, through atmosphere, through science, through anything you want to, there's Jesus Christ right in the road. Amen.
Glory.
Yes. Now, look at this. I see Simeon, an old man, an old sage, as they call him, long white hair, about 80 years old, we're taught, and long beard. He had a reputation. He was a master in Israel, and he worked around the temple there and so forth, well thought of. But one day the old fellow perhaps was out praying somewhere, and the Holy Spirit comes in and said, "Simeon, you're not going to die. You're an old man, but you're not going to die until you see the Christ of God." And he went around testifying, telling the people. Now, he wasn't afraid it would hurt his reputation. I can imagine the fellow saying, "Look at that old guy. Why, he's a little bit off at his head, see? Because, look, he's nearly dead right now. And yet David looked for Christ, and all back the prophets looked for Christ. And it's farther away than it ever was. Here we are in all this conglomeration of what we are now, and yet that old fellow says he ain't going to die until he sees Christ. There's something wrong with the old fellow. He studied too hard." No, but the Holy Spirit revealed it to him. That's a good reason to testify of it. Is that right? The Holy Spirit said so. Now, then the first thing you know, when Jesus was born, and you know nothing about it, but let's do just a little drama here to the end, if you will. I imagine it's Monday morning in the temple.
Yes.
Oh, my, the people are coming. There's about 2 million Jews and more. I suppose maybe 50 or 100 babies were born, or maybe more than that every night. Well, then every morning there'd be a great long line of mothers standing there with their babies, and some of them poor with turtle doves, and some with little sheep for the purification and then a circumcision of the child and what more. And coming up the road to the priest to minister the order. Then, let's say it's Monday morning now, and oh, there's been a great conglomeration around the city and everything, and everybody's busy, and all the temples are full, and Simeon had a little time over to prayer room to pray a while. Went over there, I just imagine he's reading Isaiah about the 40th chapter, saying, oh, we like sheep have gone astray or something. The Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Oh, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace upon him, with his stripes we were healed. I can hear Simeon and say, now I wonder who that could be otherwise than Messiah. And the same time, the Messiah was in the temple, in the arms of his mother. Let's look coming up along the line now. I see these fine ladies there with nice little needlework blankets, little pink and blue over the little babies, and they're cooing them on the chin, and so forth. And oh, how they're walking along. And there's a girl there that had a bad name. She had a baby without being married. Belonged to down there in Nazareth somewhere. Ah, there she is at the temple. There's that baby that's born out of holy wedlock. Mary knew who that baby belonged to. She walked out along this baby. Keep your distance from her. Don't stand around such a person. It reminds me of some of these half-sister churches today. Yeah, yeah. We know where we're standing. I don't know what this Holy Ghost means to me. It's life. I don't care what the others think about it. Life. Might make me act peculiar. That's to the world. But notice, they kept her distance. Keep away from her. They're shunning around. And every time she held the little baby in her hand, the rest of them had fine little blankets on, but he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, I'm taught that swaddling clothes is what goes on the back of the yoke of an ox when they plow with it. The baby was born in a manger, so they just unwrapped the old clothes to put on the little fellow. You talk about poor. And yet the King of Glory. And they unwrapped the swaddling cloth and wrapped it around the little fellow. And here he was, little fellow laying in his mother's arms, a little girl about 18 years old, 20, coming up holding this little baby, cooing, looking down his face. She didn't care. Didn't bless her when they called her a fanatic or so forth, or if that excuse and disgrace. She didn't pay attention to her. She just moved on. She knew where she was at. She knew what it was all about. Make any of what the outside world says. You remember the same thing to your testimony. If you're born again, let them call you fanatic. That's all right. You know where you're at. The world knows their own. God knows his, too. So here she comes along with this baby, walking along. I see people come by and say, what do I want to see with that little old girl? Oh, my, look at that swaddling cloth. My, that must be a poor kid. Well, we're refined, so we go to a better church, and we don't have to fool with nothing like that. Here's that old man back there, oh, who had a little spot of beef in him. Back here. I can hear him sitting there reading the scriptures. All at once, the Holy Ghost. Now, look. If God gave Simeon, the Holy Ghost would have sent him this promise that he wasn't going to die until he seen the Christ of God. The Holy Ghost is under obligation to see that he sees the Christ in him. That's right. If he made him the promise, he's obligated. I hope you're getting between the lines here. I'm watching it. The Holy Spirit's obligated to the Word. God's obligated to his Word. He certainly is. I'm obligated to my word, and you're obligated to your word. And if your word's no good, then you're no good. If God's word's no good, then I can't worship God. Because I wouldn't believe there was any if he wouldn't back up his word. That's true. So then I see it moving along. Here's Simeon, he's sitting there reading. And all at once, the Christ in the temple, the Holy Ghost is giving the promise. The Holy Ghost knows all about that. So he sees Simeon sitting there reading. So he said, Simeon, stand up on your feet. Simeon says, yes, Lord. He laid it down. That was the voice of the Holy Ghost, I hear Simeon say. Stand up. Start walking. Oh, Lord, just walk. I'll take care of the rest of it. How am I going to walk after you get out of this stretcher? I don't know. He'll take care of the rest of it. You just start walking. See when he's out. How am I going to get up out of the wheelchair? I don't know, but you just keep walking. He'll take care of the rest of it. How am I going to get over the cancer, heart trouble? I don't know. Just take his word and keep walking. He'll take care of the rest of it. See that? He's obligated to his word. That's right. I'm going to go tell my mother if I get the Holy Ghost and my daddy, they're going to a different church. Just kidding. He'll take care of that. You don't have to worry about that. He'll take care of that. How will I face my school today at my playmates? Don't worry. Just keep going. He'll take care of that. Timmy raises up. Here he starts, not knowing where he's going, just walking. But the Holy Ghost is directing his steps. Don't you believe man are led by the Spirit of God?
Yes.
Say that our sons of God are. Is that right?
Yes.
Here he comes, not knowing where he's going, but he's led by the Spirit of God. He moves over to this line of circumcision coming down, his mother. Here he starts walking down, not knowing where he's going. The Holy Ghost is leading him. And the Holy Ghost brought him right straight before this little despised mother, standing out this baby was swallowed and crawled. I hear the Holy Ghost say, this is it. He reached over, got the baby in his arms, tucked it out of Mary's arms, tears rolling down his white beard. Said, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. That's right. The world spurned it, and that man read it. The same thing today, the world burns the baptism of the Spirit and the works of the Holy Ghost, but this hungry heart that's coming to it. Moving to it. Now look, the same Holy Spirit, there's no two Holy Spirits, there's only one. And the same Holy Spirit that gives Simeon that promise is the same Holy Spirit that draws you out here tonight. Is that right? He made you come, sister, and you, sister, and you. You, every one of you. He brought you here. The devil will never bring you around a place like this. I'll guarantee you that. The Holy Ghost brought you here. If you believe in divine healing, then the Holy Spirit brought you where the fountain's open. Just like he did Simeon. You embraced God's promise like Simeon did. At the same time, in the temple, was an old woman by the name of Anne. And she was blind, we were taught. And she was waiting for the consolation of Israel. At the same time, the Holy Spirit struck her. Here come an old blind prophet, walking among the people, not knowing where she's going. Maybe blind here, but she's led by the Holy Spirit. Moved up to the side of Solomon, lifted up her hands and blessed God, and all those that waited the consolation of Israel. If the Holy Spirit could lead that blind woman to the promise of God, how much more would he lead you and I to his promise? She was expecting and waiting for the consolation of Israel. That was the Christ. She was expecting to see him. Simeon was expecting to see him. And I'm expecting to see him tonight. I'm expecting to see him. I'm expecting to watch his power. I'm expecting to see something done. Because he promised me that he would do it. Whatever you expect, that's what you will receive. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, thy beloved child, as Simeon of old embraced him in his arms, may we with the strong arms of faith tonight reach out and embrace him, bring nigh unto us who are needy. May he come to your people tonight. Save the lost, bring back the wandering sheep, gone astray, straying around over the country, no church home, no place to go, like wandering stars. Know that they ought to be at the Father's house, feasting and dining on the good things of God. Bring them back tonight, Lord. That poor sinner who's never eaten at the table of God, the good things of the Spirit. May he realize tonight and leave that garbage can from which he has eaten and turn to the table set for blessed holy things. Grant it, Lord. May the poor, sick, and crippled, and afflicted people, by arms of faith, reach out tonight and embrace Jesus Christ as their healer. And now, Father, when he was here on earth, you sent him. You told him that he was to do your will. I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O God. And now he returned back to you after making a sacrifice of his own self that he could bring many sons unto God. And now tonight, Lord, As your servant, along with these other servants, are here to do thy will, O God, as it is written by him which said the things that I do shall you also. Grant it tonight, and may that same power that led Simeon and Anne, John the Baptist, many the other, and all the other righteous, may he come and lead us into deeper depths and high heights of thy love and power, while we ask it in his name. Amen. Sorry to take so much of your time, but I just feel, oh, what a fine audience of faith. Now, if you were coming tonight and you wanted to see Jesus, if you wanted to see Jesus, what type of person would you look for? A real fine scholar? No. Ask somebody who knows what the original writing of the Bible was in. Just plain, not even good grammar. Just like you use out on the streets, common people. See? That's the type of person he's like. Where would you find him at? The great high classics? Oh, no. Down the river, among the poor, the outcast, whoever would receive him. Those classic spirits, religious as they can be, great fine synagogues, remember, scholars, well, who could beat them priests for holiness? If they did one thing wrong, they stoned. They had to be holy without blemish. Is that right? Scholars of the word, but yet failed to see God. That's the way it is today. Now, if God takes his man, but never his spirit, the same spirit up on Elijah, come on Elisha, and then on John the Baptist, and predicted again in the last days. Is that right? God taking his man, but he took his son, but the spirit come back. See? The devil takes his man, but never the spirit. It comes right back, very religious. Didn't Paul say in the last days that he heady, high-minded lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof from such turn away? Now we're all here. That's right, God's people here. Satan's here. The Antichrist is not a communist. Communist is not the Antichrist spirit. The Bible said in St. Matthew, the 24th chapter, that the Antichrist would be so close to the real thing that it would deceive the very elect if possible. That's religious. Saw in Revelation 17, setting up on a scarlet-covered beast, and how that she had daughters that went out from her. You're not blind. See? All right. Someday I hope just across the country teaching the gospel just to the best that I know how. But now it's prayer for the sick. When we see Jesus standing there, what kind of a man was he then? He was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, yet he had a personality he could tell him when it's necessary to be told. Got some sticks one day or some ropes and beat the whole bunch of them out of the temple. So if it come necessary, he could do it. But then if you look at him, your heart would melt. See? And now how did people receive it? Those who approached him, now what? Those who approached him as a loving, kind Savior, they felt virtue. They were told of what was wrong with him and what for him to do. But they wrapped a rag around his face one day and hit him on the head with a stick and said, now you're a seer, you're a prophesier. You know what people's doing and everything. You tell them out there what they're thinking about and what they're doing. Now, they hit him on the head and said, now tell us who hit you. He never opened his mouth, said a word. You've heard these people say, let me see this divine healer, go heal this person, and we'll believe it. Just remember, that fellow's possessed of the devil. See? The very first thing that Satan did when he met Eve was that thing. The first thing he did when he met Jesus, he said, if you're the Son of God, now you have power. If you're the Son of God, perform me a miracle here that I can see you do it. Make this bread, the stones into bread. Let me see you do it now, and I'll believe you. Tuck him up on the pinnacle temple and say, dash your foot down. Yes, sir. Jump off of here right there. It's written in the scripture. God give you scripture for it. He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Get away from here, Satan. Is that right? He never clowned for Satan. He only did the Father's will. Now look, he didn't claim to be a healer, did he? He said, I can do nothing in myself. When he passed all them crippled people and so forth, never healed one of them. He healed a man who had a disease, something like prostate or something like that. He had it for a long time. He said, well, thou be made whole. Never healed any of the cripples. And the Jews questioned him. He said,
Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father doing. Is that right? The Father shows me what to do, and I go do it. Now, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, died, rose from the dead, he said, the things that I do, shall you do also. Is that right? That's a promise. Of course, you know I'm doing something. Certainly, I'm bringing myself down from anointing of preaching down into this, for the year. Getting back to settle the audience. Be reverent. Now, he didn't claim to be a healer, but he saw visions of what the Jesus said, I do nothing. That means he didn't do one thing without God first showing him. Now, if you want to read that, you turn to St. John 5:19 and see if that's right. See? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself but what he sees the Father doing. See? That doeth the Son likewise. He never takes credit, he gives it to God. See? No human flesh can glory in the sight of God. So he said, he done what the Father showed him. You know where a beast was, had a corn in his mouth. Paul standing preaching one time, seeing a man that was crippled or something wrong with him, laying in a stretcher or cot, or said, I perceive that you have faith to be healed. Stand up on your feet. Jesus Christ makes you whole. And he jumped up. That's the gospel. Now, Jesus will return here tonight and do the things that he did when he was here on earth. Do the same manifestation. He called the woman at the well. He said, bring me a drink. She said, the pump, the well, deep, yeah. He talked to her a little bit and he said, went right straight to your trouble. He said, go get your husband. She said, I don't have any husband. That's right, she got five. Well, she ran into the city and said, come see a man who told me everything I ever done. Well, he didn't do that. He only told her one thing. But if God could show him one thing, he could show him all things. So she said, isn't this the Christ? Philip come to him, got saved, went out and found Nathanael. Said to Nathanael, come see who I found. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. He said, could anything good come out of Nazareth? Said, you come see. So when he's standing in the prayer line praying for the sick, perhaps, what he does 60% of his time or better, was praying for the sick. Yeah, about 80%. Praying for the sick. And perhaps Philip come up to him in the line, or Nathanael. Jesus looked at him and said, behold an Israelite in whom there is no guile. Why, he said, how do you know? And otherwise, there's a Christian man that's honest. He said, how did you know I was a Christian man and honest? He said, before Philip called you when you was under the tree. That's when I saw you. Philip said, or Nathanael said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God, the King of Israel. You know what the 1944 version of that would be? Mental telepathy. A devil. Fortune teller. Something like that. See, blind lead the blind, won't they all fall into this? That's right. Let us not be like them tonight. Let us be open-hearted and receive our lovely Lord Jesus into our hearts. Tonight, of course, I wouldn't know if you just went through what we used to have, the old fast line, you know, where people just go through so fast and just running as hard as they could. And I'm glad that you mentioned that, something, so I can get a starting place to get to talk to you. Now, as far as in life, we're both strangers to each other, never knew one another. But God knows both of us, doesn't he? Now, what if our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, was standing here tonight wearing this suit that he gave me? And he was standing here looking to you. Now, he'd know what your trouble was. Is that right? But now about healing, what do you think he would say? Well, he'd say, child, don't you believe that I healed you when I died for you 1900 years ago? Could you accept that? You'd say, yes, I can, Lord. Well, if you can accept it, then just as you believe, so it is. Is that right? But now, being the King of prophets, God Emmanuel, he would know but what was wrong with you and what was your trouble and so forth. Is that right? But otherwise, he could do nothing for you. Is that right? Well, then, if he's risen from the dead, and if he could come into my body and take my voice, could he say the same thing that he would say if he's standing here in flesh? Did he promise to do it? He did. That's right. Make him the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then we, the believers, could see him. He'd be with us, in us, to the end of the world. That's through every age, on down to the end of the world. Is that right? That makes him the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that true? Now, you're conscious that something's going on, aren't you? Now, right between you and I now stands that light. Now, to heal you, I couldn't. To hide your life, you couldn't. Because it's all in the hands of God now. Oh, child. Much sorrow and much danger. One thing, you're extremely nervous. You've got enough to be nervous about. It's just turning black all around where you're at. Or it's, you've got it's heart trouble. And that's, well, you've been given up by the doctor to die. That's been about a month ago or more. And he said that there was, you had two holes or leaks or something like that. Some funny name he called it. I heard him just then when he said it. But there's some funny name about two, but what it is now, it's up to you. Two holes in your heart, I see, as the blood's dripping through. Are those things the truth? Is the same Jesus who knew Philip was under the tree could see you or not? Under condition of whatever. Is that right? Is he standing here? Is he your Savior? Is he your healer? Come here. I realize I'm just a man, sister. But now, while that is on here, I'm your brother and God's servant. Now, the power of healing truly is here. And I can only do with it if he'll let me. I'm going to pronounce a blessing that you live and not die. And I'm with you, give God praise. Lord Jesus, I lay my hand upon this woman, and I ask for her life to be spared. And for this which the doctor could not do, may the power of Almighty God do in Jesus Christ's name. I bless thee, my sister, for your healing in the name of Jesus, the Son of God. Amen. Are you right in your person? God bless you. The Lord be blessed. Now, before the anointing gets me to where I don't know where I'm at, how many believe that Jesus Christ is here now? That's the same Jesus. Now, that's his power. That's his wonder that he said he would do. I've been reverent everywhere, expecting God to do for you what he did for her. Just believe it. Is all you have to do. I keep praying out there. Just believe it and see if the Holy Spirit can come out through the audience there and heal you where you're at. Up in the bleachers or wherever you are. Just believe. It's all I ask you to do. Come, lady. How do you do? Of course you're conscious that something's here. But we are strangers to one another. Don't know you. Never seen you in my life as a know-all. I suppose you never knew before. No, we've never seen each other before. The first time in life you ever come face to face with one another. But Lord knows you, and he knows me. You are a Christian believer, because your spirit is still so welcome. And I know that this is the Holy Spirit here. And I know it welcomes you. Now, if Jesus, our Savior, being the Savior of both of us, and God the Father of both of us, then we become God's children. Then we're here to help one another. And if God has sent me to help you, then I must do what God tells me to do. Then I'm asking to believe on him. And to believe that he sent me to with a divine gift, just to make faith for you. Now, if we've never seen each other before, well, there has to be some way that if he would tell me anything about you, if I probably, when he strikes me, keep talking to you, he'd just keep on talking. But it's just something. For instance, if you're sick, or if there's something wrong with you otherwise, if you've done something wrong, if he could speak that out and tell you about it, you'd be willing to accept it, wouldn't you? I can tell you,
before anything happens, that you really are a believer. You're troubled, you're real nervous. And that's due to the time of life that you're living in. Coming to the menopause, or the lady's age. But, excuse me, something happened. You've had an accident. I've seen a stick or something hit you in the head, wasn't it? Is that right? And it's caused you to have hemorrhages inside the head. Is that true? Come here. Oh, Jesus, Son of God, I bless this my sister for her healing. And our enemy, leave her. I rebuke this sinner. In the name of Jesus Christ, may it go out from her and she be made well for God's glory. I bless you now, sister, for the healing of your body. God bless you now. Go rejoice in the Lord. Have faith. Don't doubt. Just keep faith. Keep believing. Let's be reverent and just believe with all of our heart now. Just as reverent. Now, how do you do, lady? I say, how do you do? We are strangers, I suppose, to each other. Yes, ma'am. You was in my service where? Excuse me, I'm not hard of hearing, but it's just, you can understand.
I don't know, I'm just
about 5 or 6 years ago. Oh, yes, we come from, I believe, from St. Louis over there one night. Yes. Yeah, Von Hughes, that's it. Brother Von Hughes. They had a same place I believe was in the other day, or here a few weeks ago, or I see. Well, then you and I are strangers to each other, not knowing one another. But do you believe that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead? And do you believe that He can, by sovereign grace and election, that He sends people here on earth and sets them aside to preach the gospel and to do different work for Him? You believe that, don't you? Then if we've never met in life, and if God would say something that was wrong with you, you know, I have no way of knowing it. Well, it has to come from some supernatural resource. Is that right? Well, then, would you accept that as God? See? You'd have to. Thank you. See, just I'm trying to feel the approach, you see what I mean. Because it's the way you regard it, not me, but you have to respect what I'm talking about, or it just won't be, you see. It's just your approach to God. That people, that woman touched his garment one time and she got healed. But another one hit him on the head and everything else. They couldn't feel no virtue the way they approached you. Yes? Now the lady is just breaking up in front of me. But there's something, I see she has it's gall or bladder trouble. It's in her right side. And she has there's something wrong with the throat. Is that right? And then also I see when you're standing with clothes that you got a growth, and that growth is on the right shoulder. Is that right? Was that true? Now, what spoke to you wasn't me. It was my voice, but I wasn't operating it because I wouldn't know what to say. No, but it was some other voice. It's my voice, but something speaking my voice. Is that right? You believe it was God? Then come here. Kind Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, thy beloved child, I ask for the healing of my sister, and I bless her now, and condemn the enemy, and make her well, in the name of Jesus, the Son of God. Amen. I bless thee, my sister, in Jesus' name, for your healing. Amen. God bless you, my sister. Go in happy, rejoicing. Don't doubt. The Bible said, go ye and sin no more. That's unbelief. Or worse will come upon you. Be real reverent. Just keep praying, lady. It has stood over you twice tonight, you see. I have faith. I know you're troubled, but I can't say just what. It's over the other lady, too. But I want to see you healed, see. And I can tell you, and thus saith the Lord. Now be reverent everywhere, please. See, each person's a spirit. As you move, just believe me, just be quiet. You know, just be as reverent as you can be. All right. Let the patient come. Faith is moving everywhere. Now be real reverent. All right. How do you do, sir? You are a believer. You're already anointed. But we're strangers to each other. Personally, strangers, yes, sir. I don't know nothing about you. As far as I know, I've never seen you in my life. But only God knows you. I don't. Does anybody here know the man? Anybody in the building know the man? Or? And if we be strangers to each other, my brother, and we know not each other, and God knows us both, may He help us. May He help me as His servant to help you, His servant. Because we both want to live, we want to serve God, we want to do all we can for the kingdom of God. Yes, sir. Now that a man leaves me, you've been healed, and that was, but you wasn't at a platform. You were sitting in an audience, and your wife was being healed at the platform. And it was somewhere here, Brother Bob was standing from the right hand side smiling. There's Brother Zibbert. It was at Evansville, Indiana.
Thank you, Lord.
That's true. Was that true?
That's true.
It's moving again. Just a moment now. It was ulcers you had.
Right.
And you're standing now for an elderly man.
That's right.
That's your father.
True.
And he isn't here. And he's got kidney trouble. Go home.
True.
Lay your hands on him.
On his
knees. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Everybody just reverent. I'm not beside myself. I just have to get my bearings. Visions or something, you're in another world. Now, I can hardly see out over the audience, and I've got good sight. It just looks like I know I can hear people. I can hear people, and it just seems like it's like a yellow haze hanging here. You'll never know until we meet the judgment. This is the patient. This is the patient. Come here. I suppose we're strangers, lady. We don't know each other. Perfect strangers. But God alone knows. And I am... I know that God can reveal and can make me know what your trouble is. I can't heal you only just by obeying Him, laying hands. Jesus said, in my name, they shall cast out, if they lay their hands on the sick. Is that right? I see a long white table. There's somebody, it's doctors, it's something about the back. It's a kidney stone in the back, and they want to operate immediately. Is that right? Well, Christ can operate right now. If you will believe, and he will take it from you now, come here just a moment. Kind Heavenly Father. To the living God. Have faith. Don't doubt. You want to hear that scientist, lady sitting back there? You believe that Christ will make you well with all your heart? If you want to accept your healing, stand up on your feet. Say, I accept it. God bless you. Go and be made well. Mm-hmm. To the living God. You want to get that prostate trouble sitting there on the end of the row there? You believe that Jesus Christ will make you well? Can you hear me? You're standing there praying, I'm loving you. Stand up on your feet. Jesus Christ heals you the prostate trouble. Go home and be well. Two men standing there, one with a gray suit on, one brown. A man sitting in there somewhere like that, same thing, or healed. Go on. Christ makes you well. You believe, sister? With all your heart? You believe me to be his servant? It's not for me to do anything, sister. He told me if you get the people to believe you. I said, they won't believe me. He said, take hold of their hand and tell them what is wrong. I said, well then, he said, there'll be two signs given, like was given to Moses to perform a miracle, two miracles. And he said, by this, they'll believe. And I said, he said, you'll know what's wrong with them. You'll know the very secrets of their heart. I said, how did this come? I said, knowest thou not the scriptures that Jesus of Nazareth promised you? You believe that? That's the reason I asked you if you believe me. Not believe me as him, but believe that he sent me to help you. You do. Then go eat your supper. Your stomach shall have left you. You believe with all your heart? Have faith in God. You know, good thou didst to be made well. You did? You kept your healing? Go home in Jesus Christ's name and be made well. Come on. How do you do, sister? You believe God healed you that female trouble? You did? All right, God bless you. Go and believe. Huh? Or come on.
your reverence, our Lord is here. Now two demons are screaming to one another. The reverence coming from this direction. Something wrong with your back, isn't it? Is that right? You had two, didn't you? Stand up on your feet, lady. You're both healed now. You can go home. Be well. Jesus Christ makes you both well. Say thanks be to God. You don't get over the heart trouble? You set your hands in Jesus Christ? God bless you, my sister, and may you be healed in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. Come on, lady, if you believe with all your heart, or you're a believer, you bring me to be his prophet, his servant. That's the wickedest thing there is to fight. About 80% of this audience is suffering with the same thing. Just coming from all out there. Let me show you. Turn your face this way. How many out there suffering with nervousness? Raise your hand. See? You have real funny feelings, scary, weary, upset. Think you're going to lose your mind. Satan told you he was, and he lied. You're healed now. Go home and be made well. God bless you. You go home. You do whatever you want to. God bless you. And you'll go home shouting, praising God. Come, honey. You believe? I want to talk to you. I just, now the audience, nothing wrong with the lady in the way of immorals or things. She's a nice lady. But it's just something I couldn't say before our audience, and only God alone knows the woman. Is that right, lady? Is that the truth? Just God alone was in there with you. Is that right? When it happened. Is that right? Now you're going to get well. God bless you. Let me just lay hands on this woman. In Jesus Christ's name, I rebuke the evil one. Leave her. Had a funny feeling a while ago when I talked about that lady here, that back trouble, didn't you, sir? With your shirt open, that sitting there. Is that right? Sitting right there, there. Yeah. You were healed, too. It's the same thing. You had back trouble. You were healed. I couldn't tell you because I couldn't get pennies just then. What do you think, sitting there, lady, praying? You want to get rid of that arthritis? Sitting right down below him there. You want to get rid of the arthritis? You do? Yes.
It is. I don't like it. I don't like it.